So good morning, everybody. Let me just use this good morning because it sounds the freshest to start off a new day, and also maybe to honor the great work of our Parameter branch of the organizers, both in staff and science. We've done a great job this week. Today, first session, in fact, reads sort of the title of this series backwards. We start with something holographic and then go to simulation. And our first speaker, you know, I should say tonight, is Tadashi Takayanagi. I guess he has already finished dinner and we'll go to bed right after this talk. Anyway, we're really happy to have you here and talk, I think, about path integral optimization and a new way to understand that it's too deeply holographic. So please, Tadashi, the screen is yours.
Thank you, Volker. So far, I'd like to thank organizers for really stimulating workshop about tensor networks. And here I'd like to talk about some idea which connects ADS CFT to tensor networks, and especially through the idea of path integrals, which we call path integral optimization. And this gives some continuous approach to the connection between ADS and tensor networks. There are many works in this section for maybe even 10 years. And I would like to give this recent progress in this direction. And this idea, path integral optimization, which I will review in this talk in detail, and developed by many collaborators, Arupan Bhattacharya, Ian Broch, and Pavel Kapta, and Sumit Das, and Nirai Kundu, and Masamichi Miyaji, and Kento Watanabe, and Koji Umemoto. And I'm going to basically review also this our original work about path integral optimization, which is here. So let me put some using pointers. So these works. And then I'd like to explain some explicit application of this formulation and some explicit calculation, namely quantity called entanglement purification. I'm also going to talk about some recent progress of this. And also, finally, I'd like to introduce our recent work, which we just post in archive this week, about namely the path integral optimization from the viewpoint of Hartle-Fokking wave function. And we will show so optimization, maximization of Hartle-Fokking wave function in ADS is exactly correspond to this path integral optimization. Okay, so let me go on. So these are references. So if you are interested, please look these whole details. So let me start with the ADS CFT correspondence, as already discussed many speakers in this conference. And the ADS CFT is relates some gravity on D plus one dimensional anti-Doshita space to one dimensional lower, because this is a holography. It's D dimensional conformal field theory on the boundary. So this is an anti-Doshita space, which mainly I'm working on this simplest metric called Poincaré ADS metric and D plus one dimension, which has some Minkowski space, D-dimensional Minkowski space, especially this frame. And it's fibered over extra coordinate, extra dimension called Z, right? This is Z direction. And at Z equal zero, this metric divergent, where we have a UV boundary, UV physics of conformal field theory lives. And as Z gets larger, so metric squeezes to zero size in the end. This is a length scale. We interpret this Z direction, extra dimension, as a renormalization group scale, especially length scale. So Z larger means long wavelengths, low energy. Here it's a high energy. So high energy, we have a UV divergence, and that's the reason degree of freedom gets divergent, and we have a divergent volume, divergent metric. And in this way, ADS-CFT, we believe ADS-CFT is a kind of geometrization of renormalization group flow, and more especially real space renormalization group, because these are all real space. So ADS, then we want to understand anti-Doshita space as a real space renormalization. But at the same time, we have some emergent gravitational space-time and from quantum many-body system, namely quantum critical point or conformal field theory. And the basic mechanism behind this is quantum entanglement. So if we just look at, forget about ADS-CFT, we just look at the quantum entanglement in quantum many-body systems, like a spin chain or more gauge theory and so on, then quantum entanglement is a good tool, good concept to capture geometry of quantum states. Originally, algebraically, very complicated quantum state, wave function, so it's very, very, very complicated, but we can extract some nice geometry from quantum system by especially looking at quantum entanglement, or a more explicit quantity called entanglement entropy is here. So this is we talk about, you know, entanglement entropy. We talk about some total space where we have CFT, but we decompose space into A and B, and we trace out this. Rho tot is a total density matrix, which is typically given by wave, just single wave function, and we trace out some part. So you can choose A and B as you like, basically decompose into two and trace out, and this is a reduced density matrix, and we take. This rho log rho, which is von Neumann entropy. This is basically measures how much information is hidden in A or B. And this quantity is called entanglement entropy. And so we can actually calculate by using this ADS CFT correspondence, we can calculate the entanglement entropy by just geometrical quantity, namely minimum area surface. So we have A and B here, and we extend this boundary of A into the bulk. And we just calculate this area, but we have to specify this surface. But we can take a minimum area surface which end on the boundary of A. So this is an extra dimension, and this is an anti-Lochita space. And but this formula is like exactly the same formula. It looks very similar to this Bekenstein-Hawking formula, but its difference is this is not horizon, but a minimal surface. But anyway, this takes the same form, and the Newton constant is just power, some power of Planck lengths, right? Planck lengths to some dimension. And that means we decompose this surface into Planck unit cells, and each cell, Planck unit cell, have a 1 bit of quantum entanglement, 1 qubit of information is hidden there. So that way we can talk about some, we can think about on this surface, there are some EPR pairs. Bell pairs are distributed. Each Planck unit length, we have 1 Bell pair, and that way. But we can think about this surface A, this choice of A and B is orbitary. A and B are just artificial choice. You can change any size and location, and that means everywhere we have this EPR pairs or Bell pairs. So this suggests that actually space-time in gravity might be some collection of bits of quantum bits, qubits of entanglement. This is one idea, but at the same time, we already see that in ADS-CFT, the idea is that space-time is actually consists of describe real space renormalization group flow. And actually these two ideas is cross-related, and indeed this is a unified in the idea by using the idea of tensor network. Here is a typical tensor network which describes quantum critical point, which is called MERA, right? Multi-square entanglement minimization. And that's first constructed by Jeffrey Vidal. And this is some sketch of that. And this looks like already ADS, right? This looks like actually hyperbolic space, time slice of ADS. And we have some original spins, which we want to describe ground state wave function, for example. So these are many spins, but we coarse-grain each step. This triangle is called coarse-graining, but mathematically it is isometry, which satisfies this is a tensor, T. T is this isometry and satisfies this condition. And so if we combine these two, this satisfies this condition. This is the same equation. And also we have to add some quantum entanglement or remove quantum entanglement in this direction, but you can also go opposite way. So just starting from single spin and create this highly entangled state of some ground state of a spin chain, for example. That's because we need to add entangle, increase entanglement, and this is done by just disentangler, just unitary transformation. Two spins into get into entangled state. And there are many such this entangler in a scale invariant way, because we are talking scale invariant theory, conformal field theory. So this is like, this box is this entangler. And combine these two, we can create tensor network. This is the idea of MERA. And so if you are interested in entanglement entropy, so like previous formula, so we talk about particular region A, and the entanglement arises because of this links, right? Each link has a 1 bit of entanglement, or as, you can change this degree of freedom, some log of some degree of freedom, log chi, log of some dimension of this bone. But anyway, you can see the order one. In that case, we have some, we can just count entanglement by just writing some curve which surrounds region A. This is we call gamma A, but we should not overcount, right? So that means we have to minimum, take a minimum of this curve. Then it's, for example, in scale invariant case, this, if this is length L, so each step, it will go, number of spin gets half. So the depth is roughly log L. Right, so we get log L entropy. This is a rough estimation, but this agrees with what we know about two-dimensional conformal field theory. This is the entanglement, typical entanglement entropy. And that way, roughly speaking, we can understand, you know, this geometry. And this gamma A is also very similar situation, right? We have also here, we talk about minimum area, and this appears very nicely also in tensor network. That means, roughly speaking, this background looks like time slice of anti-Doshita space. So this, because of that, Brian Singer suggests the following connection. I already mentioned, but tensor network of Mera might be related to time slice of ADS, right? At least counting of entanglement looks nice. And both also have a mathematically have the same structure, namely hyperbolic disk. If we naturally define metric here, it definitely looks like hyperbolic disk because of this, right, scale invariant nature. But however, if we look at this closely, at the Zeus order may be fine, but if we talk about more details, if we are very serious, there are many difficulties as pointed by many authors. And yeah, one reason is Mera has a causal structure, but time slice is looks like completely Euclidean. And also why this bound is saturated. And this is very naive, very rough estimation. And also more seriously, this is more a sophisticated question is how we can realize something we call sub-ADS locality. Namely, why this geometry, this is geometry, but why this geometry describes Einstein gravity? There are many different kinds of gravity, like quantum gravity, higher derivative, corrected gravity, and why we are talking about Einstein gravity. So this is still missing, but there are many nice improvements like this, you know, like these ideas. Perfect tensor, kinematical space, random tensor network, and match data tensor, periodic tensor, and tensor network geometry, and some of also speakers talk about this, and this, they are really a very beautiful and a very fantastic development. But nevertheless, true connection between tensor network and anti-Doshita space is not still clear. My main reason, because most of the model is using some spin-like degree of freedom and a discretized system. So, but in real ADS CFT, it's really continuous. It also even involves some gauge theory, some strongly coupled gauge theory, strongly coupled also conformal view theory. So it's a bit, little still far, but we want to somehow fill this gap, try to fill this gap. And this is our main motivation of this my work here, which I'm talking about. And our key observation towards this ADS tensor network duality is first one is anyway, as already mentioned, this advantage of this original tensor network approach is the presence of discretized structure. And this suffers from some lattice artifact and so on, but genuine ADS CFT should be continuous. And the second one is to describe a time slice of ADS. So this we mentioned some looks like time slice, but this is Euclidean. And it doesn't look like Mera because Mera is a unitary network, but that means maybe we should just directly think about Euclidean evolution rather than unitary evolution, Lorentzian evolution. So this motivates us the following relation. And this time slice of ADS might be some continuous tensor network, which describes some Euclidean CFT path integrals. And motivated by this, we would like to give some alternative approach and based on path integrals. And this related, we regard this as kind of continuum limit of tensor network. This is a path integral optimization. And I will explain what this optimization means. But anyway, we want to describe some quantum state by Euclidean path integral. And this is the idea, and deform it. This is called, which we call optimization. And so we will describe this this discretized, but anyway, we start from this tensor network, which is discretized lattice structure, and we should respect such a lattice structure. And we keep this structure, we kind of record this structure by using metric. Metric is a kind of continuous way to describe this lattice structure. I will explain more details. And so using metric, this is a key point. And we remove also at the same time, we change metric. And so changing a metric means changing lattice structure. And we want to remove unnecessary tensors. We want to shape up tensor network. We want to eliminate unnecessary tensors. So this is what we do. And this is optimization. So our guiding principle is as follows. So eliminating unnecessary tensors in tensor network and to describe some given state. So we have a target space, like namely ground state of conformal field theory. And we don't change this code, but we can change this middle step, right? And then as long as we get the correct answer. So this is the idea. And we want to create most efficient tensor, which we call optimization of tensor network. And in the end, we will see that there are some hints that this actually corresponds to solving dynamics of gravity. So this optimization actually is related to some Einstein equation, solving Einstein equation. So this is a main guiding principle. This is kind of philosophy. And I will give an explicit calculation just coming. So this is an introduction. And so let me first give a definition and a prescription of path integral optimization. So we start from this basic rule. So this is a formulation. And idea is just simplify path integral and such that it produces correct UV wave functional. So we fix goal, anyway, ground state of some wave conformal field theory. And we especially focus on two-dimensional conformal field theory. We can actually, in the end, generalize to higher dimension, as I mentioned in the end, but let's focus on two-dimensional conformal field theory. This is because it's simplest conformal field theory, and which had a lot of techniques which we can develop. And we have two coordinates, right? One Euclidean time, which we call z, minus Euclidean, so z is negative, actually, take a negative value. Euclidean time take a negative value, so z is positive. And x is just space direction, right? Time and space, it's two-dimensional. And in condensed matter, this corresponds to 1D quantum system, because usually time direction is not included. And so we, anyway, describe this in the path integral, Euclidean path integral. This is a Euclidean path integral to quite a standard way to prepare ground state. If we path integral infinitely long time, then it's to path integral project the initial state down to ground state. So this Hartle-Hawking like prescription. So, but anyway, we want, in the end, we do some deformation. So we talk about deformation of discretization of path integral. So we discretize path integral. We can imagine this path integral is discretized into lattice, and we deform this lattice structure. And this is, we can describe this as a curved metric. And anyway, we do the rule. We always impose the rule that one cell of this discretized lattice have a unit length in this metric. So this is a definition of metric. How we can relate to this, you know, discretization of lattice structure, how we relate lattice structure to metric. This is our rule. So one cell has a one unit area or one unit length. So this anyway, in the end, we get this kind of metric, and then dx is a time, a space, and z is a time direction. And then we can rewrite it in this wild factored form, right? Because we're using different morphism, some coordinate transformation. And if we, for example, the original flat metric, so we have a lot fine-grained setup, and epsilon is the lattice constant, UV cutoff, lattice constant, then metric is very, very large, right? Because we use the rule that one cell is a one unit length. So there are lots of, so this is, for example, just depicted here, written here. So this is epsilon and this is epsilon lattice, and this is a fine-grained path integral, right, here. But we coarse-grained by changing metric. This is a maximum value. One over epsilon squared is very, very large, and we slightly decrease this value of this metric, exponential 2 phi. For example, you can imagine this is actually one example of optimization path integral. So we have this fine-grained path integral, but we decompose, so we first eliminate all fine-graining lattice structure initially, because we impose some initial condition here. But this is a quite long time of path integral. So this initial condition result, final ground state does not depend on initial state. And then so first stage of path integral is not important. Details are not, so we can coarse-grained quite a lot, and we gradually fine-grain. In the end, we should completely fine-grain path integral. And roughly speaking, high energy mode, which is momentum, is much larger than 1 over z, we can, this z is a time, yeah? Is not important. So we roughly have this structure, and this is looks like also similar to, you know, non-unitary tensor. This is not unitary, but this looks like mirror, like tensor network. We have one side, two side, and four side, and that way. And anyway, this from already this point, I will confirm this more explicit calculation, but this is already, it's clear, this structure looks like hyperbolic space, this time slice, namely time slice of ADS space. And the original one is that. Here, this relation between tensor network is more precisely like this. So you have some four sides, right? So this is each edge, right, have a one, you know, vertical line, like this. This is this blue line, right? This is just links between other brackets, right? And this is one, so for one phase, we have one tensor, right? And this is like this, and this case is just one tensor, but it's a five edge, right? So this looks like this, five bonds, five links. roughly speaking, this is what we found, and so we can rewrite this in terms of some tensor network. So this is a basic idea and connection to tensor network. But here, let me go on with more quantum field theoretical approach. So this is so we are talking about a wave functional, and we are interested in ground state, like vacuum, CFT vacuum. This is just given by infinitely long path integral, like this, right? CFT action and path integral, and in the end, we end up with boundary condition, and this boundary condition requires this just argument of wave functional, right? This is wave functional, and the good thing, that G is a metric, background, we can change metric, right? But the good thing of this conformal field theory is because of the presence of wire invariance. We have a wire invariance, so conformal transformation, which means changing this factor, doesn't change the theory. But actually, so because of that, wave function doesn't change by wire rescaling. So you can change metric, but still get the same wave functional. But up to overall factor. This overall factor is usually not important in physical aid because always we can compute a correlation function by using wave function. So here I write it some flat space. Just if this G is just one, phi is just zero, for example, given by this. And if this curved one, this is a wave functional, and they are just related by some factor. But this some factor is actually useful for our purpose because if this factor is very large, right? Even though these two wave functional give the same answer, but this guy, if this factor is very large, this guy has a lot of computational cost, right? This guy, to find this guy, we repeat many times the same calculation. This is basically this factor means. And that way, so our proposal, we want to think, we regard this exponential I is a kind of action I will explain, but this is, we want to minimize this computational cost. This is our definition of optimization of path integrals. But we have to require, in the end, we end up a fine graining wave functional. So we always require final value of wire factor is over always one over epsilon squared, very, very large. Fine grained value. So this motivation of our proposal is that normalization n of wave functional estimates the repetition of the same operation of path integration, as I explained. So we want to minimize this. And this actually relates this quantity to be something people call nowadays. There are many works about this is called computational complexity. So that's the reason we call this quantity as a path integral complexity. So anyway, we want to point out that here we want to minimize computational costs. So we minimize I, and this minimized value is roughly estimate. I will also come up with this later, but roughly estimate minimum number of tensors included in this Euclidean non-unitary gate. And so this counting tensor, not this is unitary, but if this is unitary, this is a basically definition of complexity of tensor network. And there are very nice work by Carmago, Herrer, and Jefferson and Knoth 2 years ago or 1 year ago. And where this Euclidean, not Euclidean, but Lorentzian or unitary gates are also estimated by using this kind of path integral approach. And basically, very similar result is obtained. And this gives a very nice justification, this idea, qualitative justification. And as you know, like, complexity has a very nice, very interesting also holographic interpretation, mainly pushed by Reni Saskind. There are many works by Rogge and collaborators. And so in that sense, to relate this complexity itself is also very interesting quantity in gauge gravity duality, and somehow we encounter such quantity also in this path integral approach. Okay, to make everything simple, we focus on two-dimensional conformal field theory. And that case, there are very nice things that is namely this path integral optimization or this factor here. This guy is given by a very beautiful mathematical physical quantity, namely called Liouville action, very simple. Simple, but it's very mathematically beautiful theory, right? This is a kinetic term in X and Z direction, and something called Liouville potential. Sometimes we put some coefficient, which we call mu here, actually. But anyway, so the point is that I is given by this Liouville action, and the proportion to C is the central charge of 2D CFT. And there are nice also heuristic interpretation by Bartek Cech, and that is a kinetic term, it looks like, you know, major curvature, namely, roughly counting number of isometries. How you know, I mean, tensor is decreased under time evolution. And this is the obviously counting number of tensors looks like just unitary disentangler. So that way, so disentangler and isometry, yeah, it looks like also similar to Mera, like set of continuous version Mera. But those gates are non-unitary. So anyway, we minimize this, but the point is that we, as we argued here, so we want to minimize this, to minimize computational costs. This is a very simple thing, and this is something mathematically well known. And minimize, then we get encounter hyperbolic plane, two-dimensional hyperbolic plane, namely time slice of areas three. So this suggests that, this anti-Dochita space, actually, we consider ADS3. It's two-dimensional conformal theory is dual to three-dimensional anti-Dochita space, but this time slice seems to be also, we have in this path integral optimization. So somehow path integral optimization seems to be related to ADS 50 at least. And maybe they are somehow precisely the same under this identification that time slice is given by this optimized path integral. But initially, of course, this is a fine grain. This guy is that looks like boundary path integral, right? If you have ADS3, looks like this is a, this guy looks like boundary. But in the end, after optimization, somehow in the end, we end up with time slice. I will come back to this more later. But anyway, this is a roughly heuristic picture between this ADS safety and path integral optimization. But this calculation, we can do it concrete. And we can also generalize this idea, this result into more excited state. We can talk about the excited state or some compactified case. Right? If we talk about the path integral, previously we talked about non-compact and X direction is non-compact, but if we compactify X direction, then we can also again do similar optimization by solving Liouville equation, minimizing Liouville action. And we end up with just Poincaré disk metric. This is also agree with time slice of global ADS metric. But also we can insert some operator, some O. And so this operator is actually, so if we talk about conformal dimension H in 2D CFT, it looks like, behaves like this under Liouville, this file Liouville field, is because it measures metric, looks like this because dimension H. So if we insert this, right, if we insert this in addition to this Liouville action and we minimize, right, total action, then Liouville action has a source. And if we can solve, we know, we can, it is well known how to solve this. And its metric looks like same, but the point is that this periodicity changes. This is called deficit angle geometry. We encounter some deficit angle geometry, and this agree with this expected gravity dual. We know also if we excite, if we put some massive particle in anti-Dochita space, three-dimensional anti-Dochita space, this particle develops this deficit angle. And this deficit angle also agrees with this, assuming this conformal dimension is much smaller than central charge, some probability. If we go to highly back reacted case so that H over C is order one, then we have to use quantum Liouville theory. It's, at this point, it's not so clear why quantum Liouville theory appears, but I will, in the end, this our Hartle-Hawking approach actually predict also a quantum Liouville CFT should be appears if we literally treat this path integral optimization. Okay, but anyway, so this also we can describe this excited state like this. So here is some heuristic summary. So we have a path integral and we can put some excitation also. And if we put some excitation, this has some energetic source. But if we have energy, so we also have some information. This guy carries information. This is like thermodynamical entropy, thermodynamical first law, but this, there is some entanglement first law that says entanglement entropy increases if we increase energy. So if we have energy, then we have some information hidden here. And so to extract information, we have to fine grain lattice structure or this path integral. So that way, so we change the metric. Changing metric is increased. And this much looks like what happens in general relativity. So if we have some massive guy, then it changes the metric, right, by back reaction. And indeed, this happens also here. So this has some, in that sense, this optimization, minimization, look, some has some sense of, you know, solving Einstein equation. But this becomes more clear in my final part of my talk. But it's somehow this kind of nice correspondence we can see. So, but here, before I go to the final topic, let me talk about some explicit application of this formulation. So this is a kind of original aim is to understand AGS safety from tensor network, continuous tensor network. But this formulation itself is somehow sometimes useful to calculate some quantity. And this is entanglement purification or purification. So we know entanglement entropy, and also discussed by many speakers. Entanglement entropy, so we decompose Hilbert space into two parts, and we trace out in wave function, right, by along this B. And we talk about the reduced density matrix for A, and we compute rho, rho, rho. This is entanglement entropy. But this is a very nice measure, and the best measure for quantum entanglement for only for pure states. What about the mixed state? The situation is very complicated, but at least we can find one interesting quantity. So that is the entanglement purification. And more sophisticated entanglement measure is some more generalization, more complicated version of basically entanglement purification. So I'm not going to talk about this, but to describe entanglement measure for mixed state, this is a kind of first step to understand, because this involves some kind of minimization procedure. So anyway, we know mixed state can be always purified, right? So we can rewrite everything in terms of pure state. But the problem is that purification has a lot of ambiguity, right? So anyway, we can try to imitate entanglement entropy for mixed state. So we start with mixed state rho AB, and we expand the Hilbert space, HA tilde and originally AB. But we H tilde and B tilde and expand it, we can purify. We have some pure state. And we calculate entanglement entropy and pretend that A, in, not only A, but also H tilde belongs to some region A. And B, B tilde is the other side. And we are talking about this bipartite entanglement, we can calculate this. But the problem is that Psi, for purification, there are huge ambiguity, so we have to minimize. Always, if we take minimization, often we get the best property somehow. And this is introduced by quantum information theorists, as you do here. And this is good, but it involves minimization. And if this is zero, this is always positive, and this becomes zero when direct product states, no correlation. So this is a measure for correlation between two bipartite systems in mixed state. And this precisely agree with entanglement entropy when we talk about rho AB is a pure state. However, this is not entanglement measure, but this anyway is a good measure of correlations. So anyway, so we want to compute this, but the obvious problem, obstruct, is minimization. But also at the same time, we have some holographic proposal, which I proposed with Memoto a few years ago. And this is basically, we can have region A and region B, and it's holographic dual, right? And we pick up something called entanglement wedge, which is a minimal surface surrounds A and B. And this is a wormhole-like geometry, and the cross-section of wormhole geometry is argued to be equivalent to this quantity. So this passes many tests about some qualitative tests like inequality and so on, but not so many quantitative tests. So this is what the point of this talk, this part. And if this is pure, then obviously this, if B is gone, then it's like standard holographic entanglement, as also here, this reduced to entanglement. So we can actually calculate this quantity by using path integral optimization. For this, we idea is to minimize, right? We need to minimize, but we can realize this minimization by using optimization. We squeeze path integral and without changing the result. This is the idea of path integral optimization. We minimize computational cost, but at the same time, this squeezes the size of subsystem we purify, right? We add some extra space, but we can minimize the size. And we talk about adjacent interval A and B. And we can put some B tilde, A tilde, and talk about reduced density matrix. This is a usual replicatoric. I'm not going to details, but this is not a good idea because B tilde, A tilde is a huge space. This is much far from this minimum, right? It's a very large one. So we want to minimize, so we change the metric by optimization. And we minimize this reduction. Then we get some particular metric which squeezes that geometry. And in the end, we get this result. And so for that, still we need to minimize over this location Q, separation B tilde, H tilde, and we minimize Q, then we get very simple formula, right? Like this. But actually, if we can also calculate same quantity by using conjecture of relation between this quantity and the holographic version, which is a cross-section of entanglement wedge, this length. And they also precisely agree. So this is some nice match between holographic calculation and CFT calculation. But here is the one caveat that this we assume this kind of, you know, path integral optimization is actually gives minimization of all possible purification. This is kind of assumption. It should be justified because we only minimize over metric degree of freedom. So there are many other degree of freedom we can minimize. So actually, recently we have a very nice numerical data. So owing to this very sophisticated and very clever idea of numerical calculation by Karmago, Hakul, and Hera, and Yang, and using this numerical technique, we can calculate this quantity for Gaussian wave functional for free scalar and free fermion CFT. And here is a plot. This is dotted line is this formula. This is formula is exactly same as these formulas, logarithmic formula. And this dotted point is a numerical data. So we have some perfect agreement. So this provides this further support of path integral optimization and as well as this holographic conjecture. So we have some three calculations, right? The CFT calculation, but it's a path integral optimization calculation and the holographic calculation and this direct numerical calculation. So using some Gaussian optimization. This is more a first principle calculation and they all the three completely agree. So this means there are many kind of consistency check and this provides this justification of these calculations. Okay, so this is the application. And finally, I just would like to mention our latest work with Brock and Broch and Kapta and about connection between path integral optimization and ADS CFT correspondence. And we already see, right, the time slice of ADS, namely hyperbolic space, emerges from our path integral optimization. And this is a kind of just one sketch of this correspondence. And this is just raises the question, so what does this optimization procedure mean in ADS CFT correspondence? And here is a heuristic expectation, as already it would mention. So original fine-grained path integral here, right? This is a CFT. So in ADS CFT, boundary is CFT. And this is a bulk region, right? And the metric squeezed. And here we have some original path integral, but we end up with some time slice like this. So that means we have some kind of rotation, right? 90 degree rotation, it seems. And this is kind of, instead we end up with optimized Euclidean path integral. So, but this is very too much heuristic and what we're doing. So this is a question. And here endpoint is the UV quantum state. So, but anyway, let us remember this path integral optimization is a minimum of wave function. So we change metric and we just evaluate wave functional. And this is, dependence of phi itself is same, but we just minimize this overall factor, minimum. But one might think this optimization corresponds to a saddle point approximation of some quantum gravity calculation, right? Saddle point is always give minimum of, but actually always it should give maximum, right? Because we do some path integral and approximate by some leading contribution, that means maximum. So why we have minimum? This is problematic thing, and this originally we also confused about it, but there are way out of this problem. That's why I would like to explain. And this is this is important when also we would like to take into account quantum gravity correction. We can, it is very simplest way to generalize the classical result to quantum result is just using path integral. Saddle point approximation gives classical result, but if we take into account one loop determinant or higher a correction, then we can quantum gravity correction. So if we can promote UV reaction to quantum UV reaction. So, but all problem is at this, right? We put plus UV reaction, the exponential of UV reaction, but this is not good quantity to pass integral, it's get divergent. We need to flip the sign. So actually to do this, actually we can think about this very, another very, very important quantity, namely Hartle-Fokking wave function, which is a fundamental wave functional for a gravity theory. But this is the ADS, we have some boundary, extra boundary. So this is, we have a time-like boundary. So this story is a little bit complicated. So this is the anti-Doshita space, this is ADS3, right? X direction I don't write, because I am assuming some translational invariance X direction. So this is the ADS boundary, normal ADS boundary, and metric is here, and this is a Z direction here. And this is a metric divergence, so we put some cutoff, Z equal epsilon. This is a boundary. We impose some boundary condition and pass integral up to some surface. This is called Q. And we can change the metric of Q that corresponds to change the surface. And this is a semi-classical approximation of this calculation of Hartle-Hawking wave function. So this is a, we fix boundary metric. This is just a metric of Q. And pass integral, but we can also introduce some chemical potential or tension of this plane. This is actually in the standard very useful for later purpose. Anyway, so we end up some surface and this metric we can write this way. Always we can diagonalize into this form, right? And this is a metric. This is a wave, Hartle-Hawking wave function is a functional metric on this surface, two-dimensional surface, right? 3D bulk, but the surface is 2D, and 2D metric is an argument of this wave function. This is just exponential 2 pi in our case. And so by evaluating Hartle-Hawking wave function, we can use classical gravity action. And so this classical approximation, we assume translational inverse in X direction, and we just write dot as a just W derivative. W is a Euclidean time. Previous to the Z, what we write Z, but Z already used here. So I just use W. And so we can compute this anyway, carefully. And then we have a nicely minus sign and some nonlinear version of Liouville action appears. And if we talk about UV cutoff is dominant, the limit where UV cutoff is dominant, then this is approximated by Liouville action, what we studied. But this includes somehow finite cutoff corrections. That should be because the Liouville action is just for this continuous limit, and we this suffers from some finite cutoff corrections. And the ADS-CFT gives the full answer for this question, including this. This is no final result for this. As a, some kind of corrected final Liouville action with finite corrections. But anyway, so therefore, anyway, we can interpret this pass integral optimization because we can imagine some calculation using Hartle-Hawking wave function, this camp correlation function. Then we do pass integral. This is a pass integral, which we want to realize. And we maximize this, but this now we have a minus sign. So this changes into minimum about this I. This is the same as a pass integral, basically same as pass integral complexity, which I introduced, some with finite, we put some finite cutoff corrections. But anyway, we can do minimization. And this then all story is consistent, right? Minimization appears from maximization here. And the subtle point approximation just gives pass integral optimization. And indeed, we solve this equation motion for this nonlinear action. This precisely the result of solution, final solution is precisely agreed with what we derive also from Liouville theorem. This is just a kind of Poincaré disk. Or this is like the hyperbolic frame, which we studied with. It's 1/W² and right, put here, it's just hyperbolic frame. Right, that exactly is changing. If we change this T, this, and in the end we want to go to T equals zero because we don't want to put this potential. So in the end end up with this time slice, like this 90 degree rotation. T equals one is just starting point before we optimize, and T equals zero in the end, we end up with a completely optimized pass integral. Okay, so and Liouville potential, in Liouville theory, we often put mu. Mu is a coefficient of exponential 2 phi, exponential 2 phi. And then this mu corresponds to 1 minus t square in our calculation. So this precisely reproduces this result. And so using this, and actually we can rely to this ADS-3 metric in this way. So some interesting interpretations. So here is like just optimized CFT metric, which you already mentioned. So this metric or this metric, unique. And this is a kind of mu dependent part, right? And this is an ADS-3 metric. And this part seems, this part describes some emergent time direction. So somehow Liouville potential coefficient mu is that this means the energy scale of pass integral optimization. How much we do pass integral optimization appears as a as kind of emergent time direction. So this is one way to how we realize this time direction from tensor network-like idea. Right? So this tensor network parameterized by mu, because how much we optimize this tensor network. And that appears here. So that seems to be related to emergent time direction. And we can generalize this calculation. This I just focus on to make everything simple, so 2D CFT, but we can generalize this calculation because it's a holographic calculation, we can do this in any dimension, right? You can just, this is just ADSD. So then we can get some pass integral optimization in higher dimension. So this is something very difficult from CFT side because we don't know Liouville action in higher dimension. Because while transformation itself not enough to determine for all full action effective action. But the holograph, if we restrict to holograph safety, we can do this, like using this Hartree-Hawking, like wave functional method. And we can generate, so in 3D case, we can generate a BTZ black hole. Also, we have a beautiful story for JT gravity generalization, where we end up with some Schwarz chain action. And if you are interested, please look at this our paper for details. Okay, so just let me wrap up this talk. And so we expect that this ADS-CFT provides some geometrization of real space renormalization. And this, there are many works. This is motivates this conjectured connection to tensor network. But even currently, so direct tensor network discrete approach is suffer from many lattice artifacts. It's not complete story, as far as I know. It connects, you know, to ADS-CFT precisely. So motivated by this, we use some continuous approach and using Euclidean path integral. And this is a path integral optimization. And that gives some definite framework, which covers continuum limit. And we find some optimal geometry. Path integral optimal geometry is described and metric precisely agrees time slice of anti-Doshita space, namely hyperbolic space. And we finally gave us some explicit connection. We also talked about, you know, the application path integral optimization to calculate entanglement of purification as a kind of application. And finally we gave us some explicit connection between ADS-CFT and path integral optimization by considering Hartree-Hawking wave function. Basically, idea is to maximize Hartree-Hawking wave function, and that gives some saddle point approximation. And this saddle point approximation is equivalent to path integral optimization. So this is our main claim. And also, not only saddle point approximation, we can talk about quantum fluctuation, and that gives basically quantum Liouville theory, and that explains also this back reaction problem which I mentioned. So to get a real back reaction deficit angle geometry, we need a quantum Liouville theory, and that also solves this problem. And I just list some few future problems. So in the end, we have some suggestions that the emergence of time appears from this amount of path integral optimization, right? How much we do path integral optimization. That direction seems to be the time direction. And it's an interesting generalization to generalize the Lorentzian time background. And also, what about original problem sub-ADS locality? So how we can understand strongly coupled CFT and Barak locality. And finally, of course, it's always great if we can do some not only ADS, but also anti-Doshita space. And at least for Liouville theory, this we can have some suggestion that the opposite sign of chemical potential, Liouville potential, is definitely related to this. We have some results to this, but the more detailed understanding is more future problems. Thank you very much. I think I'll stop here.
Okay, thank you very much, Tadashi, for this very interesting and clear talk. Are there questions? Particular halfway during the talk, I guess Luca wanted to ask something, but then didn't. So you would be first now if you still want to ask.
Yes, so hi, Tadashi. I was wondering, so what would change if rather than doing the Euclidean path integral, you would go to Lorentzian path integral? Because you would still have conformal invariants there, right?
Yes. But path integral language, I mean, if we go to Lorentzian signature, we have IS, right? Exponential I action.
Yes, yes.
And here we just talk about exponential minus I. Uh-huh. So this, I mean, imaginary variable or not, that's of course affects this calculation. But formally you can do this path integral optimization also for Lorentzian signature.
Because there,
but that case,
yes, I mean, from the tensor network point of view, it's not clear what is the correct ansatz, right? Because there is a lot of entanglement and blah, blah, blah.
We can discretize the path integral into non-unitary tensor, right? Uh-huh. And that gives also correct ground state.
Uh-huh.
You can rewrite this. I think there is an idea also called tensor network renormalization, Giffre and the collaborator. And they start from Euclidean path integral, and then rewrite in terms of Lorentzian tensor network, like Mera.
Mm-hmm.
But our case, we don't do final step. We just talk about literally treat this Euclidean path integral in terms of non-unitary tensor.
I see. Yeah, no, I understand. Yes.
And just keep that, but still, of course, that describes some quantum state properly. And just at the stage, we can count number of tensors, and that's a path integral complexity, and minimize it.
Okay.
And our claim is that is correspond to time slice of ADS.
Okay, thanks.
Are there more questions from the audience? Maybe Tadashi, I can ask, can you expand a tiny little bit on these higher dimensional versions of of this Liouville theory? I mean, you mentioned that there's more degrees of freedom, obviously. So now I guess you have a framework to derive the theory that should be this context.
So idea is, anyway, it's very holographic. So we only restrict to holographic CFT.
Yes.
Then we can use this same setup and putting some extra coordinate. We can put some extra coordinate, dx and dy and so on. And we can evaluate this this internal region called M, and we evaluate the Einstein-Hilbert action of ADS-D. And then we get some action, which much like this, but with different power of phi, like maybe we put some D here. And this part basically is very similar, I should say.
Okay.
So we can just regard this kind of action as a Liouville action, but with finite cutoff corrections. But if we take some this limit, UV cutoff limit, when UV cutoff is dominant limit, then I think you basically similar action, but you can put some exponential phi here. And this power also changes. So this power is the same, but this probably the overall exponential phi factor. And but these are more nonlinear equation, and we can again take minimization, and then we can solve some analog of this, more complicated. And then we get exactly the same solution. And this solution should be true because even higher dimension, extra dimension, X and Y direction is trivial. And always we start with path integral, planar path integral, and changing into time slice, which is also higher dimensional hyperbolic space. So basically, the similar way we can generalize. And in CFT side, it's not clear because we know how to treat wider anomaly. But also in auto dimension, we don't know. There are no wider anomaly. So we don't have an effective action like Liouville action. So we don't know. We are getting trouble. But in holography, we know anyway. We can calculate this gravity part. And that gives some prediction what is going on.
Higher dimension. Okay, thank you. Any more question?
Hi, Tadashi. I also have a question. About you were talking about excitations, that having an operator in your optimized path integral that creates an excitation is kind of like having sort of local fine graining around the operator, right? Now, I was wondering if there's any like relationship that you can see from this, as you would expect, for example, from this equation by Witten, that the operator dimension of your operator that you insert is sort of proportional to the mass, so to your deformation in some sense of your geometry.
Yeah.
Is there some qualitative statement you can make in that direction?
Indeed, you're right. I think so. The operator we put some operator conformal dimension H, and that corresponds to this kind of scaling of metric. The phi is a Liouville field, and if we put this operator, we have this Liouville action, and this is a source part, right? H over C, and this is exactly mass perturbation of ADS three dimensional ADS three space time.
Oh,
in a three space time, we put some mass H particle, and then it developed some deficit angle, and that's precisely the same thing. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's the reason. Yeah. This is related to Einstein equation. Yeah. That's a very important. Yeah. Thank you for the question.
Okay. I think we have to move on. So let's thank Tadashi again for the very nice
talk.
Thank you
very much.